Brothers and sisters, let's open our Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 10. As we continue our study through this gospel, we understand that the context here is that Jesus Christ was sending out his 12 apostles to be preachers, to be gospel proclaimers. And at the end of this chapter, we read in verses 40 to 42 these words: "He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly, I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward." Oh, may God bless his word in our midst, dearly beloved. You know, when I was in high school, as you have heard over and over again, I know your tide was probably in me sharing this, that I was a volleyball player. I love playing volleyball. I was a part of the varsity team for 4 years. I know you're sick and tired of hearing that. But last thing that you'll hear about me about this. Last month of our year as a high school students, of course, there was excitement in the air about graduation time. And graduation time, of course, means awards, rewards, right? Who will be the one who will be the first honors, the valedictorian, the salutatorian, the top 10, you know, and all of that. I wasn't hoping to be in that category. I wasn't that smart. But I was hoping to be included in the sports award category. I mean, I have served the school for 4 years of my life representing our school in different tournaments around the city. And you know, competing against all those other really good teams. I deserve that award. I should be in that award. And so that day came when that memo board was filled with all of this list. And I went there in the morning, you know, when I arrived in the school and looked at all of these awards, top 10, whatever, you know. No, service award for this, leadership award for that, and sports award, oh, yes. My name was not there. I was like, what? Why is my name not there? I deserve to be in that list. I served the school for 4 years. I represented the school. So I thought about it. I was really angry. I was really disappointed. Wow, with the audacity of Jan, I went to one of my favorite teachers and I said, "Ma'am, how come I'm not there?" I was told I did not qualify. There are some qualifications that for one to be there on the list. And I did not. I was so disappointed. My shoulder was shrugged, you know, going to the classroom. And I remember, brothers and sisters, feeling bitter on the graduation day, looking at those sports awardees going up to the stage receiving their medals. And I wasn't included. I remember this so clearly because, you know, I was a volleyball enthusiast. Yeah, I'll stop. But that was me. I was hoping for that reward for my service for the school. We're not going to be talking about that kind of reward this morning. We're talking about a certain reward here that Christ talks about in Matthew chapter 10, 40 to 42. And with this, we have 2 points I want us to meditate on. The first is the truth behind receiving Christ's disciples. As what you know, the context here is that Christ sends out his disciples to do his work of sharing the gospel, proclaiming the good news, to be his ambassadors, to be his representatives. And here's the thing we need to understand. How Christ's disciples are received when they go out relates not only to Christ, but also relates to the Father. Look at verse 40. He says, "He who receives you," he's talking to his disciples. They are going to be sent out. "He who receives you," he tells his disciples, "receives me." And he says, "He who receives me receives him who sent me." The disciples were Christ's, we have learned this Greek word a few Sundays ago, apostolos. Sent ones. That's the Greek word for the English word apostles. Apostolos. They are the sent ones of Jesus. They were his ambassadors. They were carrying his message of salvation. They're gonna proclaim it. Christ had commissioned them to go and preach the gospel on his behalf. They were his representatives. And he says, whoever receives his disciples receives him. But listen, Christ is also an apostolos. Actually, the apostolos. The big A apostolos. The big apostle. The big A apostle. He is the sent one. He is the greatest among all apostles, in fact. Who sent him? Well, he says here, the him here is a big H him. If you look at your Bibles. In my Bible, it is a big H here. It refers to the Father. God the Father sent the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the Gospel of John. As John writes the account here of the Lord Jesus Christ, explaining this point. John chapter 12. John 12 verses 44 to 50. John 12, 44 to 50. Then Jesus cried out and said, he who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. Sounds familiar. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, and whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. That was the goal, the mission of Jesus in his first coming. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father. But the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. So it's clear, dearly beloved, according to the Gospel of John, that Jesus Christ was sent by God the Father. And whoever receives Christ receives the Father who sent him. Now this reality carries over to us today. Why? Because all Christians are sent ones. All of us are small A apostolos. We are small apostles. We have been sent by the Lord Jesus Christ. John 20 verse 21 says, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. He wasn't just talking to his 12 disciples. He's talking to us today as well. He sends us wherever we go, wherever we are planted by God. We are sent by God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And how Christ's disciples, us, are received relates to not only Christ, but also relates to the Heavenly Father. Now let's zero in on the word receives here. Because this word, as what you have seen in these verses, appears 8 times in this passage. 8 times the word receives is mentioned. The Greek word dekomenos here literally means to take with the hand. To take with the hand. My grandfather is back in the Philippines now. And they flew in, I think, a few days ago together with my mom and my aunt. But so they were sending pictures in our chat group. And my grandfather walking around, and I noticed that he needed assistance while he's walking. And my uncle was holding him in his hand. And I asked, Mom, Grandpa seems to be walking slower nowadays. Does he need assistance? And he says, yeah, he needs to have his balance, right? Or else he might, you know. That's the Greek word there. Somebody's holding you by the hand. Dekomenos. Take you, receive you. It carries the meaning of accepting, taking, welcoming someone and doing it with a truly hospitable heart. That's the Greek word dekomenos. That is receive. That's the word there Christ says, he who receives you, accepts you, takes you, welcomes you. welcomes you even in their home. In this context, it is both in receptive attitude, in the aspect of being hospitable, by welcoming the disciple of Christ into their home. Because as what you know, they're sent out, and they're going about, and they're looking for places where they can stay. And Jesus Christ says, whoever receives you, there's as if receiving me. Not really you, me. And when they receive me, they receive the Father. Now, one commentator said, when Jesus said this, he was using a way of speaking which the Jews regularly used. The Jews always felt that to receive a person's envoy or messenger was the same as to receive that person. To pay respect to an ambassador was the same as to pay respect to the king who had sent him. To welcome with love the messenger of a friend was the same as to welcome that friend. The Jews always felt that to honor the person's representative was the same as to honor the person who had sent the representative. But there is a second layer, dearly beloved, of the meaning of the Greek word dekumenos here. Not only to receive, to take, to accept, to welcome someone in a hospitable way, but it also means accepting the spiritual truths which that disciple, that follower of Christ, proclaims and teaches. That's another layer of the meaning of the Greek word of dekumenos. What truth are we talking about here? Of course, the truth that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He's the Son of God that God the Father has sent to become the Savior of the world. They must also accept the truth that He is the only Savior of the world. They must also accept that whoever repents of his or her sin and puts his or her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. By accepting these truths, we see clearly then that the he here, he who receives, is a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me park here a bit. Maybe you'll come this morning and you need this message. My friend, maybe you have not accepted these truths yet. You have not accepted that Jesus is the Son of God, the Savior of the world. The challenge for you this morning is to put your faith in Jesus. You need to repent of your sin. There is no other way to be saved from our sins but through Jesus Christ. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done. It's not religion. It's not being good. Is that following a set of rules in your life? Is that hoping, oh, maybe someday God will, you know, balance the balanced item there and see if I did a lot of good works and, you know, a little bad works and so maybe I'll get saved when I have more good works. No, it doesn't work that way. For we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. All sinners will die. And not only physically, but spiritually speaking. And hell will be the final destination of all sinners who will not trust Jesus as Savior. That's why the challenge for you this morning, friend, if you have come and you are not saved yet, consider the words of Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me, he says. Repent of your sins now. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he promises that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the gospel. That's the good news. You cannot save yourself. There's nothing you can do. And God knew that. That's why he sent his only son to die on the cross for your sin, for my sin. And he paid for it fully. All you need to do is say, Lord, thank you. I repent of my sin and I trust you as my Savior and Lord. So by accepting these truths, Jesus Christ says here, he who receives you receives Christ. And who receives Christ receives the Father. Now, there may be instances when the he here can be a long time Christian already. In the Bible, we have found a few instances like this. Like, for example, Aquila and Priscilla, with whom Paul stayed with for an extended period of time. Paul at that time was a new Christian. But Aquila and Priscilla welcomed him in their home. Now, at times, the he here may be new Christians, new converts, new believers who have just heard the gospel, maybe through you as you go around. Maybe through the disciples here as they preach the gospel. They did not only receive the message of the gospel, but also received the messenger in their home. And we see examples of that as well in the Word of God. Remember Lydia. Lydia in Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas was ministering, preaching the gospel, and she got saved. And she got baptized. You know what she did? She invited Paul and Silas to stay at her home. A new sister in the Lord, inviting the messengers of God into her home. Another example is the Philippian jailer. Remember him? Same chapter, Acts 16. After his conversion, the Philippian jailer brought Paul and Silas into his house. And the word of God there, he set food for them. In other words, he took care of their physical needs. That's the blessing. Oh, dearly beloved, what honor, what joy, what privilege to be God's instrument through whom people can know and accept Christ as the Lord and Savior of their lives. Oh, I hope, dearly beloved, that you and I will continue to experience this for the glory of God as we surrender our lives. Lord, who are you going to put in my way today? What divine appointment have you prepared for me today? I'm going to school, I'm going to work, I'm going to the supermarket, and I'm going to the train station. Lord, who is it? Pray that somebody, that God will put somebody there that you can talk to and you can preach the gospel, share the gospel to that person. That person may receive not just you, but Christ. Not just Christ, but the Heavenly Father. You see, dear beloved, the principle is here. This is the principle here. The way you treat Christ's sent ones is the way you treat Christ. The way you treat Christ is the way you treat the Heavenly Father who sent Christ. And you know, these statements might be very simple, and you get it. We all get it. But there is a key theological tenet here. There are some people, I don't believe in Jesus as the Son of God. I only believe in God the Father. That cannot be, dearly beloved. Because if you reject Christ, basing on this verse and a plethora of verses, it means you're rejecting the Heavenly Father who sent Him. So you can't say that I accept the Father, but I reject Christ. If you receive Christ, you receive the Heavenly Father. In the same way, if you have no regard for Christ's disciples, for Christ's church, you know, there are people who say, oh, I love Jesus, but I don't love the Christians. I don't like going to church. I want to just be my own little, you know, church in my home. You know, I sit down on my sofa, on my lounge and just watch, you know. I don't want to. Dearly beloved, look at this verse again. If you and I have no regard for Christ's disciples, you and I have demonstrated that we have no regard for Christ. Now in 2012, around 7 or 8 of us from Dong Baptist Church, my home church, attended the first all-Asian creation conference in Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia. And during that conference, we met a family there. We didn't know them, but they're a Filipino family. They've been in Kuala Lumpur for many years. And it's just instant connection there. Of course, Filipinos, but more deeply, we knew that they're brothers and sisters. And you know, they understood that we were staying far away because in the vicinity of the conference venue, it's just so expensive, the hotels and all that. When they heard that, they said, you know, no, come to our house. Stay with us. Like, we're 7, 8 people. Like, it's okay. It's just like camping. If you're okay with like sleeping on the floor, you know, beside a table next to the staircase, yes, we're okay. And so one afternoon, we found ourselves backing up and go to their house, and we were there. They prepared food for us. They considered us like family. This family we have never met before. And during that week, we were just so blessed with how they received us. They were such tremendous blessings. And until now, the eight of us cannot forget this family. This family who received us. Not just as friends, not as fellow conferees, but as true family in the Lord. So as I pondered, you know, as a new, some of you have received the new church covenant, I believe it's the Spirit that prompted me to consider the one another's of the Bible. If there is a covenant between us, it should be the one another's in the Bible. And I included some of this in that list. That we will covenant with each other to increase and abound in fervent love for one another without hypocrisy. Also to serve one another through love and not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. To bear with one another in love. To be kindly affectionate and devoted to one another in brotherly love. Oh, dearly beloved, these are simple statements. And sometimes we rush through them, you know, and we don't think about them. But dearly beloved, here are some questions we can ask. Maybe this morning in relationship to this, how can we really receive each other more and more? How can we show we truly care? How can we demonstrate that we are not ashamed of each other? How can we avoid focusing only on ourselves and take sacrificial efforts for the body of Christ? How can we share in the troubles, in the burdens of our fellow Christians as they go through tough aspects in their lives? How can we assist each other? How can we cooperate together in the ministry? How can we truly receive each other in a deep, hospitable, Christian love kind of way? I hope, dearly beloved, that this morning, as we're listening to this message, we'll consider more and more, Lord, how else, by your grace, can I receive my brother, my sister into my life? Now look at verse 41. Because Christ continues with his words, he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. What does this verse mean? Now let me suggest to you that the prophet here, the word prophet here refers to the work of a follower of Christ who proclaims Christ. Because that's what the prophet does. Now I know in the Old Testament, the usual thinking that we have as a prophet is to give prophecies. Now that is indeed one of the work of a prophet. But don't miss the point, dearly beloved, that the prophet is primarily a preacher. He doesn't just foretell the future, but he also foretell, meaning he preaches the gospel. And so the prophet here refers to that work of proclaiming the word of God, proclaiming Christ. Now, righteous man here, I believe, refers to the character of a follower of Christ. That the character is characterized by a holy kind of living. A living that is aligned to the word of God, the standards of the word of God. And so Jesus here refers to persons who proclaim Christ and live a righteous life. That's what it means. So the blessing here, dear beloved, is this. That this prophet, this righteous man, can be any of us. Can be any Christian at all. This doesn't just refer to pastors or missionaries or ministry leaders, or deacons. This refers to anybody who is a follower of Christ who proclaims Christ and who lives a life that is righteous before the Lord. Of course, by the Spirit's power and by the grace of God. You can be a plumber and you can be the prophet referred to here. A builder, a taxi driver, a homemaker. You may be a father, a nurse, a teacher, a social worker, and you can be this, the prophet that's referred to in verse 41, and the righteous man. So the gist of that verse is this: when we receive and have someone who proclaims Christ, the prophet, you know, again, it could be anybody who's a Christian declaring Christ, and someone who lives a righteous life, we will have an equal share in the reward God will give to that prophet and that righteous one. How amazing. Amazing truth. Look at it again. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. Your reward will nothing be less. The same as the prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. One author said, when you go out representing God by your life and by your lip, by your speaking and your living, those who receive you will receive the reward that you receive. What a blessing. And you may ask, who keeps account of everything that we do in this accord? Well, you know who keeps account. It's God. It's God who keeps account of every single thing you do towards a prophet or a righteous man. He knows everything. He doesn't just see the things that are done here on stage. He sees everything that you do in secret. The prayers that you make, the encouragements that you send out, the little thing that you do behind the scenes for the church. God sees everything. And He takes account every single thing that you do. Now, of course, we human beings would like to declare, to put labels. Oh, the big things, you know, the grand things that you do for the ministry. And these are the small things. But God doesn't do that, does He? Everything you do for Christ's sake, to a prophet, to a righteous man, He keeps account. And He will reward. And along this line, we go to the second point. The truth behind rewarding Christ's disciples. In verse 42. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. Two things on this verse. The first is the simplicity of the act. The simplicity of the act. Highlight there the simplicity of the act. Only a cup of cold water. Giving a simple cup of cold water. Do you realize how simple this act is, especially during this time where everybody has fridges? It's very simple. It's just a cup of cold water. And even here in Australia, it's safe to get water from the tap and put it in the fridge. You don't need to buy a purifier we're so blessed here. Just one cup. What is one cup of cold water? But you know, one cup of cold water is a tremendous blessing if you are thirsty. A tremendous blessing if you're thirsty and you're far from home. And someone offered it to you coupled with, sit down. Let's talk a bit. How are you? How have you been? How is it going? You're far away from family, from home. Is there anything I can do for you to assist you? Is there anything I can pray for you? You need a bit of rest here. Rest a bit. Here's a cup of cold water. Dearly beloved, that goes a long way. In fact, one author said, a gift of a cup of cold water is so powerful if it is offered in Jesus' name. If it is shared to honor Him. And it's given to bless others out of thanks for His grace. So you see, the simplicity of the act here is not just about the cold cup of water. It's about the desire to glorify God behind the giving of that cup of cold water. You see, we cannot all be prophets and preach and proclaim the word of God. We cannot be in those kind of platforms where we can do big things for God. But those who give God's messengers the simple gift of hospitality will receive no less a reward than that prophet. Isn't that amazing? You have the same reward in the purse that the person receives, the one who's preaching there, the one who's highlighted there, the one whose face may be on the program, and your name is not even there. You know, nobody even knows you there. But if you just give a cup of cold water, same reward. Same reward. Brothers and sisters, listen, whatever little you do for the kingdom will never be unseen or forgotten by God. Whatever little, He rewards justly. But not only the simplicity of the act, but let's also discover the sincerity of the act. The receiver is known to be Christ's disciple. And whoever gives one of these little ones, only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly, I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. There is sincerity in the simple act because you know that the one whom you are giving the cup of cold water to is a disciple of Christ, labeled here as little ones. Possibly, they are the ones who are being targeted by the world. Some suggest that. Some commentators suggest that they may be the ones who are being persecuted by the world. May be considered as insignificant. Or they are the ones, a part of the family of God. Yeah, but they're not really that important, some people would label, which is, that should never be our attitude. Maybe those who are serving behind the scenes, maybe those who are unknown to the high society, the high class of the world, the little ones. In such circumstances, a cup of cold water is much more than a drink. It becomes a holy gift given to the Lord Himself, knowing that this disciple is Christ's disciple. And again, I would like to bring home the point that even the tiniest service does not go unnoticed. Those who give cold water to Christ ministers, an inexpensive act of hospitality, are not forgotten. Matthew Henry says, Christ values the aid offered to His people, quote, not according to the cost of the gift, but according to the love and affection of the giver. Unquote. Whatever you do for God's disciples, no matter how small, maybe you think about that too. Oh, this is so small at this moment of time. I only have this amount of money. Or I only have this amount of time. I only do this for the church. You may think it's insignificant or maybe unnoticed, but because of its simplicity, because of its sincerity, it will never be forgotten. Jesus' word says, He shall by no means lose His reward. You will not lose your reward. God, the righteous judge, will see to it that even the tiniest, the smallest thing you have done for His glory, for His kingdom, for His disciple, will be rewarded. Remember Galatians 6:9? And let us not grow weary while doing good. Brother, sister, don't grow weary. Don't get discouraged. If this is what you can do for the Lord, this is maybe you can say, only what I can do for the Lord. Do not grow weary while doing good. Because the verse continues, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Do not lose heart. Sometimes we are so focused on the opportunity of doing big things for God. We're waiting for that opportunity, okay? Like, oh, maybe I can be like this. And I can have a position like that. We wait for those big moments, grand opportunities. Now, those opportunities may come. And I hope you'll be ready. You'll be prepared to serve the Lord in that capacity. But brothers and sisters, they may not come. Don't miss out on the small opportunities that God gives you, in the simplicity of life, on the daily grind of life. Don't be too busy. Don't be too focused on yourself, inward looking. But look out. Bless others. Serve others. Maybe one day you receive an email, you receive a text, there's a need. Somebody who's coming, it's a missionary, it's a pastor coming, and he may need, you know, a family to receive him, or maybe a lunch or a dinner. Maybe this year you'll consider that. Maybe this moment you'll consider that. Oh, pastor, I'm not really good with hospitality, but I'll try. I don't know how to talk to missionaries. I feel like, you know, like maybe they talk big, like they use words like sanctification and justification and hypostatic union. And so I don't know how to converse. Just be yourself. The Lord will use you. Listen for announcement from this very podium. Sometimes we announce here some needs and some opportunities to serve. So we just, maybe somebody else will do that. You know, oh, she's been doing that all her life. She can do it again. Why don't you say, Lord, maybe this year I can try. Maybe this year you can use me. Maybe this year I can be someone that can be an instrument of your grace. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding. You're always looking for opportunities. Abounding in the work of the Lord. Knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so as I end. Wow, I think holidays are good for me. I'm preaching shorter. 3 C's. Number one, caution. Caution for all of us. Can you see that many a false teacher, cult figurehead, or self-centered Christian leader can abuse this passage? Can manipulate Christians using this passage? So that's the first point here. In fact, for years, this is one of the passages in the Bible which many have quoted to demand deep obedience and full commitment to them, not for the glory of God, but for the profit of self. They use the name of Jesus Christ and promise reward to those who will faithfully follow them, not Jesus, them, but only to abuse their power and position. The founder of the cult, the Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints, LDS, Joseph Smith, and this is from their own website. That cult confessed he had up to 40 wives. In an essay published on its own website, quoting careful estimates, the church even said the wives included a 14-year-old and others who were already married. In 2022, it was discovered that Samuel Bateman, the leader of a small polygamous group on the Arizona-Utah border, by the way, he's a former member of a fundamentalist LDS group, he had taken at least 20 wives, most of them minors, and punished followers who did not treat him as a prophet. That's what the news says. He gave wives as gifts to his male followers, claiming to do so on orders from the Heavenly Father. The men supported Bateman financially and gave him their own wives and young daughters as wives. This can be abused if not applied properly. Men and women have abused this. And so, church, be discerning. The true followers of the Lord Jesus Christ will never ask you to do anything contrary to the Word of God. They will not demand special treatments. They will not have an air of self-entitlement. They will not use their position to pressure you to receive them, nor to give something to them, or to do anything for them. On the contrary, they will reflect the servant heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Philippians 2 says. Philippians 2, verses 3-8. Is there an air of entitlement supposedly for leaders, for Christian leaders? No. Because Paul says in Philippians 2, 3-8, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. And he continues, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What is this mind that Jesus Christ had, we should be having? Who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant and coming in the likeness of man. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So the true servant of God, the true disciple of Christ, the true ambassador of Christ will have a servant attitude. Someone who will be content and joyful, not demanding. So that's a caution. But the second C is comfort. Again, to you who cannot do much. Maybe I'm talking to someone who has with some physical impediment or health impediment. You know, you have a desire. You know, I could do some more. I wish I could do some more. But I'm stuck here. You know, this is my situation right now. Brother, sister, take heart. Whatever you do for God, the prayers that you've been praying on behalf of the church in the silence of your home is never forgotten. Maybe in your situation, in your family right now, you know, the kids are small and you have tons of responsibility and you do your best for the Lord. And you always think, oh, this is such a small thing I'm doing for the Lord. I wish I could do more. Well, the Lord will open opportunities. And He will give grace for you to do that. But whatever He enables you today to do, that you do, brother and sister, take heart. There are blessings and you will be rewarded for them. You may say, Lord, this is all I can do for now. It's just a little cup of water. But take heart, you will not lose your reward. You will not lose your reward. And the challenge, the third C. Remember the sports award that I was hoping for, that I was putting my joy in, you know, my satisfaction in. So I look back. And now I tell myself, what was that all about, Jan? What a self-centered, self-entitled, immature man I was. To be so affected by not getting the sports award. Sports. But you know, I don't think I have graduated so much from that yet still. I still do run after my little sports awards. No, in our lives today, we do. And we wonder, we lose joy and hope and peace and satisfaction because sometimes we are just like that 16-year-old Jan still. When we look for little earthly rewards. We look for fame. We look for recognition. We look for glory. We look for wealth. We look for position and power. And we miss the point of the passage. The best rewards out there is not something that's in here. The best reward someday, brothers and sisters, are the words of Christ. When you see Him face to face and you would say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter now into the joy of the Lord. So don't please self today, brothers and sisters. Please God. Honor Him. And you will never lose your reward. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the comfort that it gives. Thank you for the encouragement that it gives. So I pray that for those who have been serving faithfully, that you would give an encouragement in their hearts today, Lord, they will not lose their reward. And for those, this year maybe will be a new year, a commitment, a recommitment to serve again or to start serving. Lord, I pray that even if it's just a cup of cold water, may we do it with sincerity of heart, knowing that we do it for you. Fill this church, O Lord, with hearts that are willing to serve like Jesus. And through that, may you be glorified and many people will come to see that this is your church. And that many will come to the saving knowledge of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.